Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas Tough may be taking a backseat to Texas Smart when it comes to crime and punishment. An unlikely coalition of reformers, think tanks, and business groups are uniting under a new banner called Smart on Crime, and they're taking aim at what they say are the broken parts of our justice system. Their chief aim, changing how we think about nonviolent drug offenders, increasing treatment and diversion to reduce the numbers in prison. The group also wants to make sure offenders don't end up as professional criminals, with more reentry programs and support to get people on with their lives and get their lives together. So do you think that the Texas judicial system needs reform? What would you change? We invite you into our conversation. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email us with your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Ana Yanez Correa, she is the executive director of the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition, and Virant Reddy, a senior policy analyst at the Center for Effective Justice at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Welcome to The Source, both of you.
Thank you.
Hi, it's great to be on.
You know, there's a lot of other people involved in this coalition, some groups that you normally wouldn't put together. We've got the American Civil Liberties Union of Texas. We've got the Texas Association of Business. It's Goodwill, Central Texas. They've all come together on this. So what brought y'all together, Ana, to come together on this issue?
Well, we've been working on this issue for quite some time, since 2001. And in 2005, we met this amazing young man by the name of Mark Levin in one of the hearings, and he was saying the same thing I was saying. Now, we are definitely not a right wing, you know, free market thinking think tank by any means of the imagination. So we thought it was odd, but you know, since then we started realizing that we had a lot of things in common. We wanted the same outcomes. And then eventually came along the Texas Association of Business. And before I knew it, Mr. Bill Hammond, you know, invited me to, you know, go to their board. And in a beautiful, you know, historic day, the board voted for the association to get involved in this issue. And Goodwill, in like manner, started reaching out to us because, you know, there were some, you know, a lot of their clients have a lot of reentry barriers. And so Bill Hammond decided to say, okay, we're all on the same page. Let's just come together in a room. And then magic happened. Magic happened.
Virant, tell me what happened. What are these areas that y'all agree on? Because very different. You do look for the free market type solutions. Why get together with groups that are more progressive?
Well, I think we're all coming at this from different angles, but we're getting to the same place. You know, broadly speaking, I think there may be three distinct philosophies in Texas politics right now. You have the traditional left, and they have reasons for engaging in these issues that I'm sure all your listeners understand. We've been familiar with these arguments for many, many years. You also have kind of the business-minded right. This is probably best represented by the Texas Association of Business. And they're concerned with getting people out there and getting them working. There are so many productive, economically dynamic people who are locked up behind bars right now, and they're there for low-level, nonviolent offenses. They'd be better treated out in the community. They'd be hardworking. They'd be producing. And I think that sector of Texas politics is really interested in seeing that dynamism unleashed. And then, finally, I think you have the group that's represented by the Texas Public Policy Foundation. That's kind of the philosophical right. This is the group that, you know, is interested in reducing the size and scope of government. And we've been saying that the size and scope of government has to be reduced when it comes to education, when it comes to health care, when it comes to a whole host of areas. There's no reason that criminal justice should be exempt.
Right, and we've seen Texas already taking the lead on this, trying to do some reforms to the justice system. Other states are following Texas' lead, and Virant, we've seen this particularly in shutting down prisons or keeping more prisons from opening up.
Oh, absolutely. Governor Perry was on a panel at CPAC. That's the major conservative conference that occurs in Washington, D.C. every year. And he looked out into that crowd of thousands and he said, you want to do something conservative? You want to reduce government? Shut down a prison, because the extraordinary expense that is associated with prison building and prison maintenance, it's a real success story for conservatives and for people who care about limited government to be able to reduce prison population. In this state, we've closed down three prisons in just the last 3 years.
And we've saved about $2 billion in doing so. Right now, the crime rate in Texas has dropped down to the lowest point since 1968. So, Anna, how does that become part of incorporating that talking point, bringing up that fact as you're trying to move forward this legislative agenda?
Well, as you stated earlier, the sky hasn't fallen based on the reforms that we've accomplished. In fact, not only are prison populations going down, but, you know, the public safety outcomes have gotten better. You know, right now, however, we are at a point where we know that we can go even much further, and that, you know, and there's no reason why Texas shouldn't continue on this path of, you know, being more strategic about who they send to prison versus not. And you know, we understand that we cannot take credit for the reduction of crime rate. Anybody who tells you we are the reason why the crime rate has gone down, you know, it's not really, you know, telling you the truth. There's a lot of factors, but what we do know is that putting people in prison do not help, you know, doesn't produce any positive public safety. In fact, there has been some studies that show that that it's actually worse in terms of public safety outcomes. So when we're spending $6.8 billion on the mere incarceration of individuals, we demand and we expect better outcomes. And we're not just talking about not having rearrests. We're not just talking about not having, not having people go back. We want happy, thriving, you know, productive people who can take care of their families. And in order for that to happen, laws that were passed, you know, many years ago, that have dehumanized and have, you know, limited the opportunities of thousands and thousands of Texans have got to go. And this is a session to do that.
And Vic Rand, tell me about the difference between the cost in treatment and the cost of keeping someone in prison.
Oh, it's vast. In our state, for example, putting somebody on probation costs a little less than $3 a day, but incarcerating them costs something like $50 a day. It's just an enormous chasm. We're not talking about the difference between $45 and $50. We're talking about the difference between less than $3 and $50. And I always tell people that I'm willing to cut that check for $50 a day if we are talking about a violent offender. If we were talking about a murderer or a rapist, that is an area where public safety is directly implicated, and there's a role for prisons in society, and there's a value to locking those people up. But it is profoundly wasteful to be taking low-level nonviolent offenders and be spending $50 per day on them rather than the $2 or $3 we could be spending.
We're talking about proposed reforms to the Texas judicial system. We want to hear from you. What changes would you put in there if you had a chance? What would you like to see? Join the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. What do you think of the Texas Driver Responsibility Program? We're going to talk about that. This is The Source on KSTX. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. A new coalition of supporters of criminal justice reform have announced an ambitious legislative agenda at a Capitol press conference recently. It's called the Texas Smart on Crime Coalition. It includes a diverse group, a broad base, a coalition here of the Texas Public Policy Foundation, the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition, the American Civil Liberties Union of Texas, the Goodwill Texas, the Texas Association of Business. So this is pretty amazing that you have come together for the first time with this united agenda. With me to talk about that is Ana Yanez Correa. She is a executive director of the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition, and Vic Grant Reddy, the senior policy analyst at the Center for Effective Justice at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. And our phone lines are open. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. And Edith is on the line. Edith, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I would just like to share my personal experience. I spend a lot of time on the Near East Side downtown area, and there's a lot of young men that I know, and some are even older, that have been in and out of prison, nonviolent, minor infraction. It's maddening. They go in, then they come back out. There is fines attached to it. They should be, one in particular, I named his name, John Saddywhite. He is a sweet-natured young man. He probably has some health issues. They're not being addressed, but he's back sitting in prison somewhere because of his lack of judgment. He was holding something for someone, and he has never been violent, never caused me problems. I think we should look to other Western evolved countries and see how they better manage their nonviolent prisoners. Okay. Many of them are, in fact, not very well people and not operating always at full mental capacity.
All right, Edith, thank you so much. Good idea. Thank you for your comments. We appreciate that. So, Ana, you heard Edith's story. She says that she's come in contact with people who have been in and out of prison. She says they're nonviolent. Maybe they have mental health issues.
Edith, you are absolutely right, and that's exactly what this coalition is trying to do. We are trying to give young people the option to fulfill their potentiality. And when they have a record, they cannot do that. Now, we know that at least 80% of the people that are somewhat in the system have had some type of substance abuse mental health problem, and we cannot continue to treat a health problem with criminal within the criminal justice system. You're not going to cure addiction by locking it away. You're just not going to do that. So we're on the same page here, and I thank you for looking after these young folks in your area.
Back to the phones. Ramez has called in. Ramez, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. As I said, off the air, my family was a victim of a heinous crime that happened, and then my father-in-law was murdered back in 2009. And then the murderer happened to have some criminal background, and he had substance abuse problems, and he had some mental issues. And he was let out with no support or whatever, and they put him on probation. So after this guy was on probation, he was supposed to do so many hours of community service. He was not able to get a job because of his background and his substance abuse. And he did not have any support system, basically. So the only way that he could get by was just robbing people. And at the time, my poor father-in-law happened to be his victim of his crime, and then he got murdered in a very, very heinous crime, basically. So I understand that people are saying that he can... there should be a system for letting these guys out and not to have society to pay for all extra waste of money and stuff. But on the other hand, we have to have a way to protect the society. If we are letting people out on probation and we are trying to help them, we have to protect the society too. And okay. That, unfortunately, was not the only case.
Right.
So, like my father-in-law, unfortunately, was not the only case of.
Right, correct.
I think it was the failure of the system.
Ramez, thank you for calling, and I appreciate that. And I'm sorry to hear about your father-in-law. That's terrible. So let me kick this over to you, Vic Grant. Ramez seems to have his story defines the conundrum, that it's no easy solutions here.
Sure. Well, I also, first of all, want to say that's an awful tragedy. I'm very sorry that his family had to undergo that. The second thing I would say is that I agree with him, actually, that I think all too often in Texas and in many other states, people have very blithely said, put him on probation. And the probation hasn't had teeth. Probation didn't really mean anything. And what Anna and I are arguing for is serious probation, where people are required to get mental health treatment, they're required to get drug treatment, they're required to pay restitution to their victims, they're required to maintain jobs and support their families, support their children. That, in my mind, is actually tough on crime. That's tougher than saying, here, sit in a box and hang out and then be released and never actually have reporting requirements and never actually have requirements to get your life back together. So I think that what Anna and I and what all the groups that are involved in the Smart on Crime Coalition are advocating for is a real serious community supervision that helps people put their lives back together.
Now, we have the Texas Driver Responsibility Program, and this is something that's been widely criticized as being convoluted and slaps a lot of civil fines on people who may have gotten a DWI or some other criminal offense while driving. So, Anna, what do you want to do with that?
Now, you know my position on this. We've got to get rid of this program. This program has failed us in every single way. It has actually decreased public safety. It has created 1.3 million Texans without a license that are still having to drive because they have to take their kids to school. And it's, you know, it's dual, dual jeopardy. This is an example of a bill that was once upon a time well-intentioned that has created a catastrophe when it comes to bureaucracy and that has ruined millions of people's lives in Texas. And it's a taxation as well to the individual. So this is an example of one of these, you know, programs that need to go. There's no reason why we should have, you know, a failed approach. And some of the people that were even the original signers of the law have now joined us to repeal the law. The challenge is that the hospitals benefit from some of the money that the of whatever can be collected from the DRP. So we're trying to come up with ways to get money for the hospitals so that the legislature can have the courage to get rid of this failed bureaucratic nightmare.
Back to the phones. The number is 210-614-8980. John is on the line. John, welcome to The Source.
Hi, David. Thank you for having me. I would like to throw out for consideration that a lot of the expense in dealing with drug offenders is getting to the point where they're labeled offenders. So I'm talking about law enforcement and the judicial system of judging them as an offender, the war on drugs, if you will. I think at least part of this problem could be solved by reducing the scope of the war on drugs, much like, and I'm not a drug user or someone advocating that you should use drugs or anything like that, but looking at what Colorado has done and Washington State, at a minimum, decriminalizing marijuana would eliminate some of the law enforcement expense. There are also some other costs to society that we have all just come to live with, and that's, you know, whether it's the gutting of the Fourth Amendment or, you know,
sure,
administrative forfeitures of vehicles, creating temptation for some police officers to be corrupt, a high enough market price that we fund the Mexican drug cartels and ultimately somebody got back to Al-Qaeda,
okay,
et cetera,
right,
et cetera.
All right, John, thanks for okay, let's see what our guests have to say about that. But, John, thanks for calling in. Good point. So, Vic Rant, let me ask you, are you ready to go so far as to say end the war on drugs?
Well, no, I'm not. I always say that I don't think we should end the war on drugs, but I think we should change the battle tactic, because the tactic for years and years has been incarceration. I think a better tactic would be looking at treatment and rehabilitation options. You know, it's interesting. We have this broad coalition that has many, many different groups involved, and we don't agree on everything. We don't even agree on everything within criminal justice. But the things in our document that we issued at our press conference last Wednesday are things that we all agree on, and it's extraordinary to think that we would have achieved consensus on those items. And one item that we achieved total consensus on is the idea that drug offenses should be treated first and foremost, if possible, with treatment and rehabilitation. And we have to make sure that those components of our criminal justice system are strong.
And Vic Grant, what's the one thing that you could change right now if you're able to get it through the legislature? What would it be?
One thing, boy, I guess I would. Let me give you three things. The first thing is I would end the overcriminalization of ordinary student misbehavior, things like truancy. I would focus significantly on the reentry process and improving the ability to obtain orders of nondisclosure and expungement. And finally, as I've said several times in this interview today, I would focus a lot on improving treatment and rehabilitation options.
And Anna, over at the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition, do you have lawmakers signing on to these things?
Well, we don't have, you mean like representatives signing
would you have,
on?
People saying we're going to sponsor bills. We're running out of time. But
oh, my gosh, after the press conference, we had so many offices emailing us and calling us and saying, give us some of your bills. So, and the executive committee is going to be meeting soon to discuss, that issue in terms of authorship. But independently of, our efforts, there's going to be a wide range of groups that are coming in looking at a bunch of other topics.
All right.
So
we'll look forward to that. The legislative session begins in January. This is Anna. Thank you so much for joining us. Vic Grant Reedy over at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. This is The Source on KSTX.
Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flev is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.